Saturday, the 24th of June 2023, and we are gathered here for the 87th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And as representation of Nisarvana Forest Monastery, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero joining today's session to present with insightful advice on mindfulness to, for today's session. And on behalf of all of us joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook, I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante to today's session. Furthermore, I would like to also welcome all of those joining through Zoom and the Facebook live stream to today's session. So to give you a quick heads up, this is a video on program, so you can turn your videos on. Plus, we would commence with the in-session mindfulness practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the a talk on mindfulness. Today's topic would be gratitude, and then we will present the reports received. The reflections report received will be forwarded to Bhante for advice, and then we will open the floor for any verbal questions, if any, and then we will wrap up the program. Just to give you a heads up on that. Now, to start things off, I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to commence in session practice for today's session. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So we will start today's session with a mindful sitting practice. For this, you need to adjust your posture. Make sure that it is comfortable. You are seated in a comfortable manner. When you are comfortable in your posture, you can close your eyes and simply be aware. Notice whether you are comfortable in your current posture. We are seated. We have our eyes closed. And we are comfortable in our current posture. What we are going to do is that we are going to appreciate that we are comfortable in the current posture and just be with it. Various things might come and go, but among these things, you are calm and peaceful. Sounds, thoughts, memories, future planning, various bodily sensations, these things come and go. Among these things, we try to appreciate the present moment. We try to appreciate that we are seated and we are comfortable. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's our sitting practice for today. Sitting in a comfortable manner and appreciating the comfort in your current posture and just be with it. So you can try this on your own. This is just to give you an idea. With that, Namante, you can take over.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Much merits for that guidance. Next, as the agenda item, we have the talk on mindfulness practice with the title Gratitude. So on behalf of all of us on the Zoom session and also on the live stream, I would like to invite Bhante, with much respect, to commence the talk for today. Over to Bhante again. Thank you.
All right, everyone. We can probably take around 20-30 minutes to discuss today's topic. Today, we are going to talk about gratitude and how we can relate gratitude to our practice, the practice of mindfulness. Now, when we talk about gratitude, most of you would say that when you receive something, when you get a gift or something from somebody, that's an opportunity for you to practice gratitude. Or otherwise, let's say somebody helps you with something. And when you receive help from somebody, that's an opportunity to practice gratitude. So this is the common idea that most of the people have. In order to practice gratitude, you need to get something. Or in order to practice gratitude, you need somebody's support or help. When you receive something, when you receive some service, then you feel grateful for them. And that's an opportunity for you to practice gratitude. So this is how we think. Now, when we think about these occasions, they are not frequent. An opportunity that you would receive something, it's not so frequent. And let's say somebody come along and help you, it's not so frequent. So if you think that you can practice gratitude only in those occasions, then probably every now and then, you will feel gratitude. You can practice gratitude. But when we think about our lives, when we think about the way we are living, when we think about how we are functioning, we already have so many things to be grateful. You don't have to get anything new. You don't have to get something new or some service in order to practice gratitude. We already have so many things to be grateful and we don't even pay attention to them. We are not even noticing them. Instead, we think that we need to get something. We are in search for something or we are in search for somebody to come and help us. Only during such occasions, you think that you can practice gratitude. In a way, you are in this never-ending search. You are looking for things. You are searching for things. You are expecting to receive more and more things. Or in a way, you are looking for people. You are expecting to receive their company. And, you know, when you meet them, you'll be happy. You'll be grateful. So in a way, we are in a search. We think that in a future day, when we get these things, we'll be happy. In an unknown day, when we achieve these goals, we'll be happy. And again, we work towards that goal. We plan. We spend so much time trying to reach that destination. And when you reach that destination, you can be grateful. You can be happy. That's how our mind works. Always we are in search for something. We are looking for something. In a future unknown day, when we get all these things, we'll be happy, we'll be grateful. So there is this story. This person is looking for shoes, a branded pair of shoes. This person is searching. So he is searching again and again for the exact brand, for the exact color. And after searching so much, he found the exact brand and the exact color he was looking for in a shop where the salesman doesn't have any feet. Doesn't have any feet to wear the shoes. Oh, you are looking for an eyelash color. Searching. The exact version, exact color you are searching. You look through so many shops to find it at the end at a shop where the sales girl is blind. That eyelash color, you found it in a shop where there's a blind girl is selling you, right? So this is how we are. Always we look for something. We are in search of something. We don't know how gifted we are already. We don't know how grateful we should be. Always looking. In a future day, when you achieve these things, when we reach that destination, you will be grateful. That's your idea. But when we think about it, if you are able to sit and listen to this, if you can do it, then you have so many things to be grateful. Now, few minutes ago, we tried to sit for a while. Just 5-10 minutes. Just be comfortable in your posture and just be with it. If you could do that, then you have so many things to be grateful. Because when you think about it, there are so much many people who can't have that comfort. Let's say somebody is struggling with their breathing. So when you see that type of a person, when they are struggling with their breath, see how much difficulty, how much suffering that they are going through. As long as we breathe comfortably, we don't feel it. We don't appreciate it. We don't even notice that our body is breathing without difficulty. As long as there is no pain inside our body, we don't notice how comfortable we are. But when you get a headache, you complain. When you get a toothache, you complain. But before that complaint, you were comfortable and you were not appreciating that. You had comfort in your body, but you are not appreciating it. When you get difficulty, when you fall sick, you start complaining, you start searching for painkillers. You try to get rid of this illness. But when we are comfortable, we don't appreciate that. So if you are able to sit for a while and just be with your breath, just be with your posture, then you are so gifted. You already have so many things to be grateful in your life. You are not suffering with some kind of a pain, unbearable pain. You are not suffering with a breathing difficulty. Instead, you can sit and be comfortable. So in a way, when we think about it, we already have so many things to be grateful, but we are not appreciating. We don't even notice these things. When we practice mindfulness, we try to sit in a comfortable manner and try to appreciate that. Just be with your body and mind for a while. When we practice mindful walking, we just walk in a comfortable manner and just be with that process. Appreciate that you are able to walk. So that's the practice that we are doing as mindfulness. We try to appreciate that we are sitting. We try to appreciate that we are walking. So in a way, you are appreciating that you are able to breathe. In a way, you are appreciating that you are able to walk. Let's say there is some trouble with walking. Let's say a broken leg or something. Then you realize how difficult it's to walk. How much weight this body contains. But when you are comfortable in your walking, when you can walk comfortably, you don't even pay attention to it. You are not even noticing it. So in a way, when we practice mindfulness, when we practice mindful walking, mindful sitting, we try to appreciate that we are able to sit comfortably and breathe. We are able to walk comfortably and just be with that walking. That's what we are doing as mindfulness. We are appreciating the present moment. We don't need anything else. We don't need a future destination to be happy. We don't need a future achievement to be happy. Instead, we are happy and peaceful in the present moment. And that's the deepest gratitude that you can have in your life. If you think you'll be happy in a future day, that means you are not happy in the present moment. If you think when you reach this destination, you'll be happy, that means you are not happy in the current place. If you think when you achieve these things, you'll be happy, then you are not happy with the current achievements. So when we practice mindfulness, we are practicing a deep level of gratitude. We are grateful for the things that we already have. And we don't need anything in the future, any future destination to be happy. When you walk, you just try to be with the walking and you're happy and peaceful there. When you sit, you just try to be with the breathing and you're happy and peaceful there. Let's say when you have your meals, usually we are not paying attention to that meal. Usually we are not paying attention to that activity. Christians, they have this idea of saying grace. Before the meal, they just mention that they are grateful for this meal and they are grateful for the people who have provided this meal. That reminder they do before the meal. When we practice mindfulness also, if you don't have to remind anything, you don't have to recall anything. Instead, if you be with the meal, if you notice that you are eating, if you notice the flavor, if you notice the process, then you are practicing gratitude. You are happy and peaceful with what you have and you are appreciating that present moment. You are appreciating your meal. Usually it is very difficult to do. You work the entire day, then you come home, you prepare dinner, you have your family members, but still you are not paying attention to your meal. Instead, probably you are watching TV while having your dinner. Can we just sit and just be with the family members and have our dinner? Can we just pay attention to it? Can we just spend 15, 20 minutes appreciating that meal? So that's the idea of the practice. Instead of thinking about future destinations, instead of thinking about future goals, we are happy and peaceful in the present moment and we are grateful for it. And that's not the surface level of gratitude. That's not shallow gratitude. Instead, it's a deep level of gratitude. You are grateful for you what you already have. You don't need anything else to be happy. So that's the real idea behind gratitude. And that's how we should be practicing. In a way, when we practice mindfulness, if you can be comfortable with your body and mind, you are practicing gratitude. You are practicing a deep level of gratitude that you are happy and peaceful. And when we see other people, sometimes it reminds us how blessed we are. When we see other people, they remind us how grateful we should be for our lives. Now, as a monk, I get to meet a lot of people. They come with so many complaints, so many issues. Some people, they have various mental difficulties. And when you see them, when you talk to them, you realize how much of a trouble they are in, how much suffering they go through due to this difficulty, due to this illness. Some people, they suffer from this bipolar disease. Highest of highs, lowest of lows. Time to time, their mind goes to the extreme. And when they go to the highest of highs, they say, it's like, it feels like cloud nine. It feels like they can fly. And when they go to the lowest of lows, they can't bear it. They feel like killing themselves. Sometimes they stay in that condition for days. So when you have that type of an illness, when you see somebody like that, when you see they are suffering, then you can, of course, be grateful that you are comfortable in your mind. You don't have this type of a difficulty. Usually when we go on Pindapatha, even today that person came, there's this father. Usually we go downhill for the Pindapatha, and the father, he's coming with his son. He's climbing the mountain, and the son is suffering with the Down syndrome. So this father is bringing his son with something to offer. And whenever the monks pass, he stops and, you know, just hold his son and, you know, trying to pay respect, both of them. But the son doesn't have an idea. They are coming to offer something. What is the reason for coming? Because that person, the father, is suffering. His son is suffering with the Down syndrome. Let's say if the son was healthy, then he might not come. So you can see the reasoning behind their appearance. You can see the reasoning why they come. And when you see such people, in a way, of course, you have compassion towards them. But in a way, you can be grateful that you don't have such a difficulty. You don't have to worry about those things. But when we don't have troubles, when you don't have difficulties, we are not appreciating. We don't like that. We don't even notice how blessed we are. You want to reach some future destination. You want to reach some future goal, and then only you'll be happy. You don't have to do much. Just keep your eyes open and you'll see so many things. You'll see so many signs that will tell you how blessed you already are. How grateful you should be. You don't need much. You don't need to. You just need to keep your eyes open. And there are so many signs from the surrounding. When you see other people, when you see the homeless, when you see people who are hungry, when you see people who are suffering with various diseases, when you see people suffering with mental illness, then you see how grateful you are. That appreciation we don't do. In a way, if we can be happy and peaceful in the present moment, we are practicing gratitude. We don't need anything else. We are happy and peaceful with our body and mind. And that's something rare. That's something rare because when you fall sick, you can't be happy and peaceful with your body and mind. When you have pain, aches in your body, you can't be happy and peaceful with your body and mind. So while you are at it, why don't you appreciate it? Why don't you just be with it? Why don't you be happy and peaceful in the present moment? And you don't need anything else to be happy. So that's the practice that we are doing. That's the training that we are doing. Initially, you might struggle because we are not usually comfortable in the present moment. That's not how we have trained our mind. Always looking into the future, always trying to reach a future destination. That's how we have trained our mind. But we intentionally try to be happy and peaceful in the present moment. As a beginner, you can just start with 5-10 minutes of practice. 5-10 minutes of mindful walking. You don't have to do much. Walk in a comfortable manner and be happy and peaceful. Be comfortable in your body and mind. Notice what you feel when you try to be comfortable with your body and mind. Just sit for a while. Close your eyes and be comfortable in your current posture. You don't have to do much. Instead, just simply be there with your body and mind. That's the starting point. That's how we are training ourselves. Again and again, 5-10 minutes daily, you are practicing mindful walking and mindful sitting. That's a good starting point towards this practice. Because probably your entire life, you have trained your mind to reach a future destination, future goals. That's our training. Even during school years, you get the training to reach a future destination, future goal. Schools, they don't teach us to be comfortable in your mind and body. Instead, they teach us to reach a future destination, future goal. So probably 20, 30 years of training is there. Always planning, always trying to reach a future destination, future goal. So initially, for a beginner, it is very difficult to be comfortable in their mind and body. It is very difficult to be there with the walking for 10-15 minutes. It's very difficult to be there with the sitting for 10-15 minutes. So gradually, you have to approach it. Gradually, 5-10 minutes, you try to be comfortable with your walking and just notice. You try to be comfortable with your sitting and just notice. That way, you little by little approach this training. If you do it for a few weeks, then you realize now you can comfortably sit for 15-20 minutes. Now you can comfortably walk for 15-20 minutes and just be with that process. Notice how you feel the walking. Notice how you feel the sitting body, probably the breathing. You can do it. With few weeks of practice, you become comfortable. Probably you can't stay for longer periods. Still, you are comfortable for 15-20 minutes. With the walking and the sitting. That's very important. In a way, we are intentionally paying attention to the current process, currently we are walking, currently we are sitting, and we intentionally pay attention to it. We try to be with that process. We try to be lost in that process. We try to be lost in the walking. We try to be lost in the sitting. That's what we are doing. Even day-to-day activities, we try to be lost in that activity. Somebody was sharing their experience with the day-to-day practice a few weeks back, and that person was saying that she practiced mindful brushing. Initially, it was very difficult. Initially, it was very difficult to be grateful about the present activity, which is brushing. But more she practiced, she realized now it's much easier to be with the brushing. And even you tend to stay longer periods lost in that activity without even noticing that you kept brushing for like 15, 20 minutes. Just lost in that activity and just be there. So that's a good way to practice gratitude. That's a good way to practice mindfulness. When you practice like that, you realize you are comfortable in that process. You don't even know how long you kept brushing. You are happy and comfortable, and you are lost in that process. Even today's neuroscience, that they say, now there is always this voice in your head, always commanding, commenting on everything. So they call this default mode network. That's what they call. When you are in a default mode network, you always, you know, commenting, commanding in your head. That's more like a default process. That's more like a automatic process. When you intentionally pay attention to something, when you intentionally do something, then only you break this default network. Then only you break this default mode. When you break it, let's say 20, 30 minutes, if you break it, then afterwards you feel much more relaxed. So they say when you play sports, you are lost in that process. You don't know how long you kept playing. So that's a way to break that default mode network. That's a way to break that inner voices. Instead, you are comfortable in that activity. Let's say if you have some kind of a hobby or something, let's say probably gardening, if you are enjoying that activity, then few hours spent without even knowing, and you are lost and you are comfortable in that activity. So in a way, you are breaking this default mode network when you intentionally pay attention to something, when you intentionally be with that process, and when you are lost in that process, you break this automatic function. And when you break it, afterwards, you feel much more comfortable. So even while practicing mindful walking and sitting, we are intentionally bringing our attention to that activity. Again, repetitively, we pay attention to that activity. Repetitively, we pay attention to the sitting. Repetitively, we pay attention to the brushing, mindful brushing or having a meal, whatever you do. You try to practice again and again. You try to repetitively pay attention to that. And when you do it, you realize, well, after a while, you become comfortable. When you practice a few weeks, few days, you become comfortable. And naturally, you are lost in that process. Naturally, you spend like 20, 30 minutes mindfully walking, mindfully sitting, or doing whatever the activities that you do. So that's a good way to break this default mode or default network, which is always automatically commenting, voices, commanding. So these things are there. Some people, they even find it difficult to break this. Even with sports, it's difficult to break it. So they say they have ADD, attention deficit disorder or something like that. So they say they have ADD and they have trouble breaking this default mode network. They have trouble getting rid of these commanding inner voices. They have trouble paying attention to something. But with practice, you realize when you little by little improve, gradually, your ability to pay attention to something increases. While walking, you try to be with that walking process. You try to notice few steps continuously. You try to be with few breaths continuously. You try to have your meals, probably few bites, with attention. So intentionally you are doing this. You intentionally train your mind to be with that process. You intentionally try to be grateful for the present activity. And with repetitive practice, you realize naturally you feel comfortable in that process. Naturally, you tend to spend more and more time lost in that process, being attentive, paying attention to the things that you notice. So that way, you have... Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, Bhante, I can hear you.
So that's how we should be continuing with our practice. Little by little, we improve. Little by little, we try to be comfortable with our walking, with our sitting, with the activities that we do. So that's intentional training, repetitive training. That's needed. And when you train like this, with time, you realize that you are grateful in the present moment. You are comfortable in the present moment. Naturally, it is coming to you. In earlier, probably you tried it intentionally. You tried it forcefully. But with repetitive practice, you realize now naturally your mind is accepting the present moment. Your mind is becoming comfortable in the present moment. That comes with time. Now you are not intentionally bringing your attention to the present moment, but instead it is naturally coming. It is automatically coming. So that's something achieved through repetitive practice. That's why most of your meditation experiences, you say that with few weeks of practice, your attention naturally returns to the present moment. Even functioning, doing your day-to-day activities, you realize that it is naturally coming to the present moment. You are walking, probably you are walking to your office. Still, your attention is with that. You notice the steps. Let's say probably you are having your meal. Naturally, your attention is with that. You notice the flavor, you notice the process. So these things we develop little by little, and you experience that your mind is naturally returning to the present moment. Your mind is naturally accepting the present moment. So that's a great achievement through the practice. In a way, earlier, your mind was not comfortable in the present moment. Your mind didn't appreciate the present moment. But now with the training, with repetitive practice, your mind is accepting the present moment. Your mind is comfortable in the present moment. In a way, your mind is more grateful for the things that you already have. Earlier, your mind wanted things. in order to be grateful. Earlier, your mind wanted presence or some other thing to be grateful. But now, it is grateful for the things that you already have. It is grateful that there is no pain in your body. It is grateful that you are able to breathe comfortably. It is grateful that you are able to walk comfortably. It is grateful that you have a roof over your head. It is grateful that you have something to eat. So that's how, little by little, we can develop this practice. That's how we can train our mind to appreciate the things that we already have. Usually the mindful practitioners, they make such comments. Sometimes they say, I noticed a toothache. Then with mindfulness, I noticed that although there's a tooth that's aching, the rest of the teeth, they are not aching. So although the one tooth is aching, you can appreciate that the rest are fine. Probably you notice pain in your body. Let's say a pain in your knee. Although there's pain in your knee, you realize there's no pain in the other parts of my body. That's how we gradually develop the practice. Earlier, your attention naturally goes to the aching, paining part. But now your mind is deeper. Now your mind sees the bigger picture. You realize there's a tooth that's aching, but the rest is fine. You realize there's pain in a certain part of your body, but the rest is fine. So that's how we are developing our mind. That's how we train ourselves to appreciate what we already have. So this way you can really see how grateful we are when we are present with our mind and body. You can really see how much, how deep gratitude we are practicing when we are happy and peaceful in the present moment. So this week's topic, it's an invitation to be grateful in the present moment, not just the shallow level of gratitude, which you need something to be grateful. Instead, we are practicing mindfulness. We are practicing a much deeper level of gratitude. We are happy and peaceful in the present moment. We don't need anything else to be happy. That's where you can really achieve happiness. If you think that you'll be happy in an unknown future day, that day will never reach you. Guaranteed, you will never reach that destination. Instead, if you find happiness, you have to be happy and peaceful in the present moment. That's how the real happiness will arise. So thank you for listening, and we invite all of you to practice like this.
Thank you very much, Panthe, and much praise to you. Next we have the question and answer session, commencing with the introduction to beginners and then following with our reports and verbal questions thereafter. So I would like to invite Anupama to commence the Q&A session for today. Over to you, Anupama. Thank you. I will share the screen.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bante. Hello to everybody. So we will start off, as usual, by recapping on the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide. As you can see on the screen that Namantha has shared, there is guidance videos, instruction videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting, which you can access and have a look through. And we would recommend that you allocate a small time daily to start your practice with mindful walking and sitting. And if you can continue this training for a few days until you gradually increase your time. And yes, ideally, if you could dedicate 2 hours of your practice eventually in total on a daily basis, that would be the guidance and aim. Then we have the practice of writing reflection reports. You can start it with a question or statement, and then we will give you examples of reports which I will be reading in the next segment. And you can title it under mindful walking, mindful sitting, mindful day-to-day practice, etc. So, for example, if you are doing your mindful walking, you can describe certain prominent sensations, such as the texture of the ground you're walking on, any pressure points on the sole, how your body weight shifted when you were lifting your leg, etc. Same goes for mindful sitting. You can talk about pressure points when you're sat, for the parts of the body that are touching the ground. Also, attention to your ingoing and outgoing breaths through your nostril and the movement of abdominal wall, etc. So once you've written your reports, you can forward it to us. You can either submit it through a Google form or via the email, which is all in the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide. So continue your mindful practice according to this and continue to submit your reports. They are most useful for your own development as well as for the guidance and development of others. Thank you. So I will now move on to reading the reports. Is that okay, Namantha?
Yes.
Sure. So we have 2 reports for today. Report number 1, written by an adult, starts with walking meditation. Walked on wooden floor, noting sensations on feet as primary object. Initially weight, hardness and warmth noted while standing before starting to walk. Then contact of foot, heel, midfoot and toes with floor and lack of contact with lifting of each part of foot noted. Gap between lifting and moving, and then the between end of moving and placing notice some of the times. Warmth noted on top of the foot toward end and sharp object on one foot noted. Thoughts, sounds, not distracting observed, arising and passing. Walked 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. Primary object, the 9 stages of the decaying of the body as part of reflection on death. As each state was contemplated, the mind perceived the body to have turned by 90 degrees, facing a different direction. Mind aware, this was just a perception. Heard sounds during meditation, but not distracting, and was able to keep mind on primary object. Sat for 45 minutes. At end of sitting, was sitting facing the same direction that the meditation started with. End of report. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, if you listen to that report carefully, now we are doing a group discussion. So it's better that you listen to the reports and see what are the information that's there. Then see what's the answer or the discussion that's given related to that report. Now, usually when we are practicing, we are paying attention to the breath or the steps. You feel you try to notice the breath that's there. You try to notice the sensations of steps that's there. A beginner might come and say it's really difficult to notice the breath. Although the breath is there, it's really difficult. Although the steps are there, it's really difficult. That's the usual complaint from a beginner. But when you practice for a while, you realize now the breath is there and you are able to observe it for a while. Now the steps are there, you are able to observe it for a while. That's the starting point, we can say. The breath is there and you are able to notice. The steps are there and you are able to notice. But gradually, when you keep on observing the breath, when you keep on observing the steps, naturally your mind goes to the other side. What is the other side? Now you are starting to notice that the breath is not there. In between the in-breath and the out-breath, you say the breath is not there. When you change your steps, you say now the sensation is not there. So in your report, you mention the contact and the lack of contact. So that's how the practice matures. Initially, you pay attention to something that's there. And you keep on observing it. Again and again, you observe the breath or the steps. And when you keep on observing, then you realize naturally your attention slips into the unknown. From the known, you start, and it naturally slips into the unknown. Or you start with the contact, then naturally your attention slips into the lack of contact. That's how the practice is maturing. In a way, your perception is changing. You see that the objects are not there. You start to notice the lack of contact. Or your mind naturally slips from known to the unknown. That's how the practice is, right? When that happens, it's natural that various other things might come. Because now your perception is changing. It's the maturity that's happening. And when that happens, you realize that the body, the angle is rotated. Or sometimes you feel like the ground is moving, not the body. While walking, you feel the ground moving, not the body. So these things are changes in the perception. Because your meditation is maturing, it is going from known to the unknown. When you go from known to the unknown, it's natural that the perception is misleading you. It's giving you false ideas. So sometimes you feel that there's some creature walking on the skin, probably some insect or something. And that sensation is so prominent, so strong, you feel like an elephant is walking on you. That prominent, the sensations become. But you open your eyes, you try, nothing is there. Again, you close your eyes, within few minutes, you start to feel the insects again. So these things happen. Sometimes your perception is changing, you feel that your body is huge. You feel you are even bigger than the entire meditation hall. And you feel that you can just, you know, pick other people with two fingers. That's how you feel. That's the change. That's the misleading perception. So it's a very nice experience to go through these things. It's like watching a movie. You don't have to buy tickets. You know, free of charge, you can watch this movie. And it's always changing. Always changing. We have to develop that hobby. We are just closing our eyes, sinking in, and watching this movie. Various mental images, various incidents, various things, various sounds, various thoughts, they come. Always unexpected things are happening. So it's a fun movie to watch. How the perception is changing, how the perception is misleading you. In a way, we are prisoners of our perception. We experience the world in a unique way. Nobody else experiences the world in a similar way. So all of us, we are prisoners of our mind. There's no second person that experience the world in this way. So that perception is changing, and you see how much of a misleading thing this perception is. It's like an illusion. You can see how the perception is changing. You sat facing this direction, and within few minutes you realize now you are facing some other direction. You feel various other things, various insect sensations on your body. Sometimes you hear these various sounds that are not there. Sometimes you get various mental images, like various known people are coming or unknown people are coming and talking to you. So all these things, they are just it's the misleading perception that's happening. Now the perception is changing due to the practice, and you see all these things. So it's a natural, it's a fun way to practice. It's a fun period to go through. Again and again, you have to experience this. You realize how much of an illusion this perception is. And we are prisoners in our mind. We are prisoners in our perception. There's no second person that shares the same worldview. So you can easily understand the reasoning behind all the arguments. You can easily understand reasoning behind all the fights. Because they are experiencing world in different ways. No much of information will make them agree. Because they are experiencing the thing in a different way. So it's natural that they go for arguments. It's natural that they fight. But the meditator, they understand how we are all prisoners in our own mind and how we are prisoners of our perception and how misleading that perception is. So it's a very nice experience to go through these phases of meditation. And when you go through, next time, you're probably are not so dependent on your perception. Now you know by experience that this perception is misleading. It's misleading, and now you are not relied on this perception so much. You know that it is not trustworthy. That realization is important. Otherwise, you think this is permanent. You take everything as real. But the meditator, they know that these things are uncertain. This perception is changing. When it is changing, you can't rely on it. So the meditation, it goes from known to the unknown. It is naturally going. So what you have to do is that keep on practicing and try to see what is happening. Try to notice what is happening. Again and again, you have to do it.
I'm sorry, Anupama had to leave, so I will take on from now on. The second report we have received today is from an adult again. I will start that now. Mindful walking. Walked in the nearby woodland with shoes on at the beginning. It was
easier to distinguish between movements of each foot, but after a while, the attention had moved to various other things associated with walking, such as shifting of body weight, quickening of breath, warmth of sun on the face and arms, coolness under the tree, and movement of hair due to the wind. Mine would return from time to time to feet movements, although it felt like an automatic process. Sounds noted at times and passed away. The more automatic the walking had become, the calmer the mind felt. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position after a body scan. Just waited. There was agitation in the mind. Instead of trying to do anything, continued to notice the agitation. When breath appeared, it was prominent. In-breath cooler, out-breath warmer, thoughts related to the agitation arose. And each time simply watched these and they passed away only to bring up another similar thought. There was a stream of thoughts arising and passing away. Soon after the mind had become calmer, sat for 50 minutes. Afterward, the peaceful feeling lingered and noted that the mind hadn't tried to get rid of the agitation or the stream of thoughts arising, both of which settled or passed by simply noting them. Mindfulness during the day. It was interesting to note the mental skills so far developed with the regular mindfulness practice. When a really difficult situation with another was unfolding, instead of reacting, the mind got busy noting the sound of what was being said, how it was interpreted, and irritation and judgments about the other arising, and also small gaps in between one sentence and the next. Somehow this awareness allowed space between what was happening and noting the impact of that on me. This helped me to not reactively say anything that would bring up regret later. Just allow the other person to express their tension and stress by staying silent. It actually wasn't that hard to do. Also noted that they most likely would feel regretful after the event. Few years ago, this situation would have been a proper conflict. Now the mind wasn't that interested in hooking into the bait provided by the other. This person apologized briefly after this encounter. It didn't feel genuine though. After 2 days, there was a long text message from the same person. Obviously, she's troubled by something and showing me the state of her mind by the length of her text. Maybe troubled by her lack of control in getting to a similar reaction from me. Text was all about a complaint, but without a base. If she didn't get a reaction 2 days ago, she would not get a reaction from me now. I just sent her an emoji of a surprise face. There was nothing further from her since. So hopefully she has learned that I am not interested in having conflict. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. I'm thinking where to start, right? Now, when we think about the walking practice that you have done, right? It's not the like a formal mindful practice or the formal walking practice, but you are walking through a forest, right? You are walking through nature, or you are probably walking through the beach, right? So that way, if you do, that too is meditation. And you feel like more comfortable, relaxed with your environment. And you don't have to force your attention too much. Instead, you naturally notice the surrounding things. The bird sounds are there, the nature, the colors are there. And time to time, it comes to your body as well. Right? So that way of practice, we encourage. Now, even this forest, sometimes it's easier to walk through the forest paths instead of you using the prepared walking paths. Sometimes I just go through these forest paths. And when you go through it, you realize you are one with the nature. You are lost in that activity. Your attention is with the present moment. So that's how we can really break that inner voices. That default mode network that we were talking about, in our brain, these functions are usually active. Default activation is there. We intentionally have to break it. Otherwise, it's a never-ending process. Again and again, it is continuing with that mode, right? So we try to bring our attention to the practice. We intentionally go to different environments. We go to calming environments. And when you go, you realize your mind is more present. And you're breaking that default mode. You're breaking those inner voices, inner commands. And when you break that process, you feel much more comfortable afterwards. So it's encourageable to practice this way. When you go to a forest, you can pay attention and just be with the present moment and try to see how much of peace that will bring you. And when it comes to the second part of your report, I think I can really relate to what we are saying, right? Now, the arguments, probably earlier, you can't avoid them. You hear all the words. You remember every one of them. Our mind is so attentive when such things happen. We are not even missing a single word, right? But now, due to the practice, due to repetitive meditation practice, now you realize there's no point paying attention to these things so much. You are not interested in conflict so much. Instead, your mind is more appreciative towards the peace. Some people, they are more interested in conflict. So they need that fuel. They need a struggle. They need a conflict to survive. And when that fuel is given, they have the energy. They can function for weeks and months. So when you encounter such people, you have to skillfully, wisely manage that situation, navigate that situation. Otherwise, they have so much energy towards the conflict. And it's going to be never-ending process. You'll waste so much energy. You are feeding them in a way. You are giving fuel to them. Without conflict, they can survive. They go for somebody else. They are in search for conflict. If they can't get it from you, they find a new person. So that's how the world works. So this world is conflict. But we are not interested in conflict. Our mind is not interested in conflict due to the practice, due to the path. Now you are separate from the world. You can say the world, it's conflict. If your mind is not interested in conflict, then you are not one with the world. You are separated from these worldly beings. So that's the practice. Now you are more interested in the gaps in between the words, right? Some people, they might not appreciate this. When somebody is blaming, why don't you pay attention to it? Why don't you notice all the words? Why don't you notice what they are saying? You are still noticing, but you are not so much attentive. Your necessary attention is there, but you know that this is not my interest. Your mind is not so much interested in conflict. Instead, the gaps in between, they are more peaceful. The gaps in between, they are more useful. So even the chats, even the emails, even the calls, you don't need to answer all of these things. Some people, they even, you know, create conflict even through the chat, WhatsApp chat. You see so many comments, so many arguments. If you start replying all of them, WhatsApp is facilitating that. They are giving you the function to reply each and every comment. Why should we spend so much energy on those things? Instead, you give some totally different answer. They're asking something else, you are saying something else. then that person is confused. They try to re-explain you. They are again explaining from the zero. They are explaining A, B, C till Z. They are explaining. Again, you give a different answer. One more time, they may try. So that's how the world works. You don't need to spend so much energy on such things. Negativity is there. If you spend energy on it, it's a never-ending process because the energy is limited. Your energy is limited. You have so much energy. So you have to be skillful spending it. You have to be wise spending it. So that's why the first day they come and blame you. Second day, they come and give a fake apology. And within a week, they come and say the real thing. Probably try to create more conflict. So these things, you can see how these things are changing. You don't have to blacklist those people. Just keep them open. Let them come again. They might come with a totally different story next time. Now we are not lost in the story. We see the picture behind it. You see through the screen. You see through the movie to see the screen. Usually that is difficult. Usually the movie grabs your attention. Usually the words grab your attention. Usually the blames grab your attention. But now you see through that movie. You see through the words. You see through the movie to see the screen. You see through the words to see the silence. You see through these incidents to see the real reasoning behind. And when you do it, it's so funny to see how these people are functioning. One day they come and blame you. Next day they come with an apology. The day after they might come with a totally new something. And again, you are not interested in spending energy like that. There are so many ways skillfully you can manage these situations. Sometimes you don't hear the most important part. So what happens? That person can't continue with the conflict, no. Because you didn't hear the most important part. They said something else, you're answering some other thing. You have to understand, this is not blindness. This is not ignorance. Totally aware. But skillfully choosing where to put your energy, skillfully choosing where to give your attention. Otherwise, it feels like ignorance. When you're unmindful also, you don't hear. But we are not encouraging ignorance. We are not encouraging blindness. Instead, totally aware. That's why even scriptures, it is said the mindful person, he sees. The mindful person, he hears. The mindful person, he notices. But he is giving his attention wisely. He is maneuvering this situation wisely. That's the difference. Otherwise, it feels like blindness. No, not blind. The eyes are open. The ears are open. You feel things. You notice much better. You know what is happening. But you are not involved in that. You are not interfering. Sometimes two people coming. One person from this side. Another person from this side, they are coming. It's like, it's so fun to watch this accident that's about to happen. And you know this person is like this, this person is like this. Now they are coming, right? In the middle, they meet each other. So it's like watching this accident that's about to happen. So attentively you are watching what is happening, right? It's so fun. Now it's like watching a movie because you are not involved in it. You are not a part of that movie. If you are a part, then of course you can't watch it like that. Then you become involved in it, with it. But if you are separate from this world, the world is conflict, but you are not a part of it. Then you can sit comfortably and watch what is happening. That attitude you have to develop gradually. You have, through the practice, it will come. Otherwise, our mind is interested in conflict. Only conflict will trigger our mind. That's the worldly mind. That's the natural mind. But with training, you can develop this separate mind or the noble mind, which is not interested in conflict, which is not interested in the world, because the world is conflict, right? So that mind you are talking about, you have to support it again and again. See how much fun it is to watch this movie if you are not a part of it. One person coming and praising you. Another person is coming and blaming you. So usually the world reaction is that praises, you become pleased with that person. When somebody blames you, you get angry with that person. Buddha is asking, if you become pleased with that person, can you understand the truth of their statement? They are praising. You become blind with their phrase. Can you understand the truth behind their statement? Buddha is asking. He's asking, can you see through the praise if you are pleased with it? Then he's saying somebody else is coming and blaming you. If you get angry, can you understand the truth behind that statement? Can you see through that statement if you are angry? He's asking. So he's saying, don't get caught up in these things. Instead, see through the things to see the real reasoning behind. So that's a training. You have to develop that mind. Otherwise, the worldly mind is always interested in conflict. Gradually, you have to develop this noble mind. Gradually, you have to develop this Buddha nature in your mind. Now it is not one with the world. It is separate from the world. It is not interested in the conflict. Instead, it's a noble mind. So that mind you are talking about, that quality is arising. You have to support it again and again. Still, it's in this initial stage. You have to support it more and more.
Thank you, Bhante, for your guidance in both reports today. We can relate to some incident in both of them and some parts of our life for both of them as well. And thank you for the report writers for sharing them with us today. We might be able to allow you maybe one question because we have gone over the time again. Samantha, I can see your hand raised. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Yes, thank you, Sonali. Just a quick question, Bhante, that was burning. You know, Bhante said about perception can be misleading and lack of contact. I can see, like, from the six senses, lack of contact can be a nice, peaceful mind in a state. But however, perception, like recognizing from based on your what you've developed from your past experience and labeling, you know, what you put into your memory, all that experience, would that also, I'm just wondering when it's an illusion, but is that also not necessary? Because if you're experiencing something or seeing something, you need to be aware whether it's a dangerous situation or make a wise assessment in order to how to decide how you're going to react to that situation. So doesn't perception in a mindful, wise way, if it's used, you can still see reality. Is that, have I misunderstood, or is that perception is important part of being mindful? Does that make sense, Bhante?
Okay, first thing is that object we were talking about, the contact of breath. Let's say the breath is there. Mm-hmm. You feel the breath. So that's the contact. Then the lack of contact. And the breath is not there. In between the in-breath and the out-breath, you feel the gap. Now you know the breath is not there. Mm-hmm. But we say the known and the unknown. Right? So initially it's really hard to notice the known even. How can you notice the unknown? Right? So that's why we say, start with the known. Start with the breath. Start with the steps. Naturally, your mind will slip into the unknown. That process is natural. That's why this person is saying he could feel the contact. Then he could feel the lack of contact. He could feel the breath is there. He could feel now the breath is not there. That's what this person is saying. So I am saying that the perception it's maturing. Earlier we couldn't even notice the known. Now the perception is changing, maturing. Now you are noticing the unknown little by little. So this is the process of the meditation. And you are talking about, I think, when we function, of course, we need the memory. When we function, of course, we need the thought processes. That's to deal with this world, no?
Yeah.
That's the known thing, right? Yeah. So use that skill. You don't have to forget about everything. That knowledge is there in your body, mind. That knowledge is there. Even without thinking, you know what to do. We are talking about this unknown process, this unknown, how you can travel from known to the unknown, how you can realize how different you, how misleading your perception is. Now, let's say there's this blacklisted person, right? This person is always coming and blaming you. That's your history. That's your record with that person, right? So even with the sight of them, they haven't said any words. The sight, just the sight of them, it will trigger anger within us. So that's the perception. That's the perception, right? Now, but just the sight of that person, you are triggered. And they come and phrase you. Still, you don't hear the phrase. You think they blamed you. So this is the illusion that we are talking about. Perception, it is misleading you.
The mental preoccupation. Sorry, Bhante. So that perception, if it leads to mental proliferation, that's when it becomes dangerous.
No, even without that, just you, without thinking, you get this trigger. You don't need the thought processes to get it, right?
Okay.
So that's how you are experiencing the world. Right? So that, let's say when you are sick, the food doesn't taste well. So where is the issue? Is there an issue with the food? Or is it your perception?
Perception.
Right? So that's the thing. So we are dependent on this. We think whatever we see, whatever we experience, we take it as real. But it's not true.
But some perceptions can be real, can't they? If you perceive it with wisdom.
The way you are experiencing, you think it's real?
Some things, like say if I touch the fire and now I know from a younger age I mustn't touch the fire. Now I know when I see a fire or from a distance, if it's coming towards me, I'll run away. Something like that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, even without fire, sometimes you see fires coming towards you.
Yes, a lot in everyday life. Yes. Yeah.
So that's how our senses are. That's why it's an illusion, it's said. So what you have to do is that through meditation, you experience sometimes the known things are there, sometimes the unknown things are there. You see how this perception is changing. Still, you are relied on it, but you are not so relied.
Okay.
Still, you are dependent on it. You are not so dependent. You know that this is fake. This is misleading sometimes, right? So that way, you have to experience it with meditation. And with time, you realize you are not so much dependent on it. Still, you function. Still, you work. Still, you answer. But you are not taking them so seriously. That's what the report was saying. Although the words are there, you don't have to take it so seriously.
Lovely. And that gap, I won't be long, and that gap is important because that's where you can get the peace and quietness of the mind. And maybe I'm confusing with mindfulness with wisdom. So to be that mindful has to come on top of everything so that in order to take the right action, maybe.
No, all these things, you have to start with mindfulness. You can't get the wisdom, no. How can you chase the wisdom?
Okay, yeah.
Wisdom will come when you...
Later on.
When your mind doesn't take these things so seriously. Right?
Yeah.
When, okay. When your mind is blinded, no wisdom. That's why the knowledge, it's a different thing. The wisdom, it's a different thing. Right? So some yes. people, they are smart. Mm. But still... They become fools working with people, dealing with the world.
Wonderful.
Because they are blinded. They take things so seriously. And the rest is blind. The rest, they can't see it. They only grab the object. They become blinded with it. But the wisdom, it's more like how to navigate these things wisely. Various information come, but how to choose wisely.
And that you have
to keep yeah. your mind distant. Otherwise, if you grab onto objects, you can't choose wisely because you are already caught in that process. So that's the wisdom that will come. That will come as a result of the mindfulness. Only thing you can do is meditate. There's Wonderful. No other thing. Even I have seen so many people, they have very little knowledge per se. Right?
Yeah.
They have no education. They lived in villages. Such people, right? Tending buffaloes like that, right? Still, when they meditate, through meditation, they develop
yes.
wisdom. And even talking to them, you realize this person is wise. Mm. They don't create a mess out of nothing.
Yes.
So that's the wisdom. How can you chase it? You can't. Only thing you can do is practice mindfulness, do your meditation, do your part. As a result, all these things will come. All these things will come. So those people, they have very little knowledge.
Yes.
But you give them some information, they'll give an answer somewhat similar to a Zen story.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So you can't even figure out how they came up with this answer. Because they are wise. They have matured in their practice. Their mind, it doesn't take things so seriously. It's not dependent on things so much. Instead, it sees the whole picture, the bigger picture.
Mm.
So that practice is important. Meditation, meditation, meditation. That's what I have to say.
Definitely. Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu. I'll be sitting on my cushion now. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that guidance. We have unfortunately gone very much over the time, so I will hand over to Narmantha to end the session now.
Thank you very much, Merit Sonali, and also much thanks to Bhante and all those who send the written questions, and to Samantha for raising a verbal question. Much merits to all of you. So we are over time by now, but we had a solid session on mindfulness. So I would like to quickly wrap up and move the session towards ending. I would like to share merits with Bhante and wish that these merits go on to improve Bhante's own practice. Furthermore, I would like to share merits with Chief Bhante and wish these merits will have a positive impact on Chief Bhante's own practice, and also all the monks at the Forest Monastery will share these merits, is my wish. Furthermore, I want to thank all the organizers who work on this program to maintain it at a level of high quality, who sit behind the scenes and work hard. So much merits to all of you, and wish your own practices will flourish with this merits. And also to all those who attended through the Zoom session and the Facebook live stream, please share in these merits and keep practicing on. You will see many benefits and wisdom will develop within you as a result of practice. So wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. The program will continue on next Saturday, same time as well. Please practice as much as you can through formal practice as well as on day-to-day activities. And we will see you next week. Have a pleasant week ahead. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now. Much merits to all of you.